This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And when it comes to buying a car, safety and the safety rating is generally going to be a pretty high priority on our checklist when buying. And it actually takes a lot of money to go through that process and make sure your car is as safe as possible. I'm joined by Mark Borlay, Senior Manager of Future Mobility at the RAA. Mark, how's it going?
Very good, thanks, Jordan.
So how pricey is it to actually test the safety of a car?
Well, it costs at least $500,000 for a test. And some of them can be closer to $1 million. And one of the reasons for it is we do four tests. They're destructive tests, so we obviously need four cars to start with. So depending on the price of those, you're up for a fair bit. Then the cost of testing themselves is quite, sometimes it's almost the same price as the car each time, because we have to do pre-prepare the cars. We actually have to take fuel and oil and things like that that could actually potentially be a fire, because the last thing we want is a fire inside a laboratory. We then have to add that weight back into the car to make, you know, so it's got the same mass. And then we put in what they call a big umbilical cord. It's the amount of data that we're sucking out is that much that we can't do it electronically, and it's too hard to store the storage equipment on board. So we've got this big cable that runs down with it. And in the back, there's a whole lot of data acquisition computer stuff in there as well, because we're measuring things down to below a thousandth of a second. So that's one bit. It takes a week or two for the cars to actually get set up, and we have to cut holes in them to put these cables through and all of that sort of stuff. Then we obviously have to get the crash test dummies. And the crash test dummies, the current models, are over $1 million each.
What?
Yep, the crash test dummies are over $1 million each. And so, in fact, some of them are closer to $1.5 million. And now, why are they so expensive? Well, there's only one or two places in the world that make them. They're called biofidelic. So they've got ribs and legs and bones and everything. And they move like us, made out of a steel. And in between all of those are sensors. So we can actually measure the loads that are put on rib cages, put on femurs, put on necks, spines, etc. So we can measure what the forces would be going through that dummy, what forces are going through that dummy, and know what forces, because we know what forces damage people, we can work out whether the person would have been damaged by those loads or not. And then obviously you need a purpose-built, very expensive facility that can pull these vehicles into a solid block of concrete at about, over 64 Ks and sometimes higher. And that has to be done to within 25 millimetres accuracy. Otherwise, we have to abort the test. So if we don't get it to hit the barrier exactly at the right spot, too far to the left, too far to the right, and we can't use that test result, and that's wasted.
And then so, I guess start again with a new car.
Got to start again with a new car. So it doesn't happen very often. In fact, it really happens now. But the reality is that's the sort of accuracy that we're working to, and then we have to obviously do the analytics, have a team of engineers to do the analytics on the data, and because we work with the European crash test people, then we have to obviously have some sort of form of audit to make sure that the data we're getting has been checked as well. So it's a very comprehensive testing regime. So we test them for head-ons that everybody sees, in the news bulletins. We also slide them sideways into a pole, and we hit them sideways into a barrier at a bit of an angle. And they represent all the known sort of accidents that cause most damage. We also test for pedestrian protection. So we get that same car at one of them and go through sometimes up to a dozen bonnets, where we fire these instruments that are shaped like a human head or shaped like a human leg, and we fire them into strategic parts of the vehicle, and then we test how aggressive they are on those parts of the human anatomy. So that's an indication of how pedestrians would be treated if they were struck by a car.
And this, of course, is all after the development phase. So this is just the safety rating once a car has finished and is on the market. So it's a bit late for a company to take it back to the drawing board after these testings?
Yeah, so what happens is NCAP crash testing is completely independent. It's run by the motoring clubs and some of the transport authorities. And we take these cars, we buy these cars, get them off of the showroom floor so that they can't be... they can't make special ones for us, and then we take them and then bang them into the walls.
Simple as that. A very, very pricey bang into the wall.
Yeah. But it's all in the pursuit of making sure that those cars that come to market as safe as they can. So the NCAP test is not a regulated test; it's an independent test. And in fact, if they just met the basic government requirements, would probably only be a 1 or 2 star car, but we don't sell 1 and 2 star cars here very often now. Most of their 4s and 5s, and that's because the independent testing has made them raise the bar.
Right. So I guess if you are looking at buying a car, the NCAP safety rating is probably your best bet if you are concerned about safety.
Yeah, look, it is the best way to gauge the safety of the car, especially if you're older than 65, because the technologies of airbags and the way belts do will protect you a bit more as people get older. Their skeleton's not as strong as when they were 18. And the NCAP rating also looks at active safety, the stuff that keeps you out of an accident, which is not only important to everybody, but more particular young drivers who still haven't built up their experience and skill sets yet. And these things help protect them as well. So, yeah, it's very important that 5-star is where they start their shopping list from.
And I guess the other question is it just a lot of fun seeing a car crash into a wall in the lab?
Look, it's a funny sort of arrangement. It's like any lab. It's very quiet. All the engineers are watching their gauges to make sure that all the sensors, everything's operating quickly, correctly. Once the test is about to start, obviously all staff are cleared of the impact zone. We go back behind. In fact, we go to an office off the ground so we can observe it. Then the biggest noise is the whirring of the very high-speed cameras and the massive amount of lights, because we're taking very, very, very high-speed film to be able to see how the dummies move about as well. They need a lot of light at that speed, and these cameras work at really high speed and whirl, and we can't have them running for very long because they chew up so much data. Once that's done, the yellow light starts flashing, the bells start ringing, and then they just get winched down, and just before the wall, they are disconnected from the winch cable that brings them in, and they essentially make their own way to the wall where the final impact is.
That's all very informative. I've learned a thing or two today. Mark, thank you so much for chatting.
Thanks for your interest, Jordan.
That was Mark Borlay, Senior Manager of Future Mobility at the RAA on your Classic It's Breakfast.